How many of you are ready for Christmas this year? How many? One, two, three, four, five, six people are ready for Christmas this year. Wow. Well, how about the gifts? Are all the gifts purchased at least? Yeah, one person, two people? All right, so a couple, three people. How about decorations? Your house all decorated? Yeah, a couple of you. We're getting there. Praise the Lord for Sue. She does it all. How about all the activities? Are they all planned out? You ready to go? You know? Well, I don't know. How many of you are just in panic mode? Yeah, majority of you. Yeah, that's right. Wow, only 10 days counting today. That's it. 10 days counting today and, includes today. That's all you have. So you got to hurry up and you got to go out and you got to get it all done, all right? I'm so thankful that my wife Susan does most of that for us, almost all of it for us. Because, you know, I only have one person to buy for. And that's Sue. And I have a hard time doing that. She does all the gift giving. I mean, she does all the buying. I pay for it, but she does it all. She goes out and she buys it all. And I'm like most guys, you know, go to a store and you go directly to the thing that you want, right? I mean, if I need a hammer, I'm not going to look at a sweatshirt. I'm going to go to the hammer section. I'm going to pick out a hammer and I'm going to go to the checkout and I'm going to check out. And fortunately this year, because I never go out on Black Friday. Black Friday is a stay in my pajamas, just kind of chill out, right? Not for my wife and not for most of you. I know you're out there on Black Friday. But this year, the day after Black Friday, I got a great deal on her Christmas present. She's going to love it. I hope she loves it. She'll say she loves it anyway if she doesn't. But that's all I have to do, you know. Guys are kind of easy to shop for, right? You can get all kind of stuff. But you know what? I struggle year after year to get that perfect gift. So we went shopping for the perfect gift. Because I know that all of you guys need gift ideas. All right? All right? What guy wouldn't want this? Huh? You know, I've got a lot of hunters here. I better take this off because there's some of you that, like me, didn't get the deer that you wanted. So I've got them in various colors here. I've got this one. That looks like a buck, right? I mean, really. This thing, okay? You could always do this. If you want your child to lose an eye, you just give them that, all right? Okay, here's the all-time favorite gift. When all else fails, get them this. All right, right? You all do it, you know it. You all give the, you know what? This is last year's, and I hope I don't offend anybody. Does it not work? Huh? You hear that? Now I won't be able to get it shut up. We get all kind of... I better take these off before you don't take me serious. But as we get closer to the big day, we tend to just, you know, get something, right? We just go out to the dollar store and we buy something just so that we can do a stocking stuffer or something like that, just anything. Because you know they will just tell you, oh, I love the tie. It's got little penguins on it. I like it. Thanks, Sue. I really appreciate it. You know, but you don't really wear it much. I mean, I wear it one time a year because Sue gave it to me. Most of the stuff that I get for Christmas, though, ends up in the basement with the rest of the stuff. And then it'll be, you know, I got a sweater one year, and the person who gave it to me is not here, but And that's why I'll be able to feel comfortable about telling you this story. But it was too small, okay? Sleeves like to here. I don't know what they were thinking, you know? They got me a child 10 or something, you know? But it was too small, and then I couldn't throw it away. I couldn't part with it, so I put it in the drawer, and it was there until we moved. Once we moved, it went to Goodwill, and one of you guys probably got it. But anyway, Christmas is all about giving, right? It really is. It's gift giving. It's receiving and giving. That's what Christmas is all about. And we give on Christmas because what? God gave, right? God gave. God gave his son. And I'll tell you what, that just blows my mind. In John 3:16, God gave his only begotten son because he loved you and I. You know that? He loved us so much, he said, you know what, I'm going to give my son. I think that would be harder for me to do than actually giving myself and sacrificing myself. Not to minimize anything, because Jesus loved us so much that he gave while we were yet sinners, okay? But it would be very, very difficult. He gave something so precious to us that we could have that everlasting life. So that we could have eternal life. And this morning, I want to tell a story about some people who brought Jesus some gifts. Okay? We're going to go through a journey and how after giving these gifts to him changed their lives. And as we journey through this event in the Bible, I want you to think about what gift would you be willing to bring to King Jesus? And what changes would you be willing to make? Let's begin in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, it's about the Magi, it's about the wise men. And let's read down through the first three verses. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, these guys, these wise guys, come on. All right. These wise men, all right? Okay, we know that there was more than one because it says men, all right? So we don't know. We say three because there were three gifts that they gave. But these wise men came traveling a long way looking for Jesus because they saw a star. They were kind of like scientists of their day. They were astrologers of their day. They were seeking Jesus. They didn't have scripture. They couldn't turn to the Bible and say, oh yeah, I see the Magi came and they went to Jerusalem seeking God. They didn't. They didn't have any of that. They weren't Jewish. They didn't have the scriptures. And they probably traveled about 1,000 miles or better. Can you imagine traveling 1,000 miles on horseback? Or whatever they say, horses, we see them depicted on camels, but doesn't matter. 1,000 miles is 1,000 miles, amen? You know, in a car, I'm sore after 1,000 miles. I rode a motorcycle for 1,000 miles we had to get off for gas, but I rode it, I can't tell you what it was called, but not in this company. The iron something or other. But anyway, we rode 1,000 miles in 24 hours. We actually did it in 16 hours for 1,000 miles in one day. It was terrible. You got off and you were like this. You know, walking around like this, like you just got off of a horse. But they're seeking. These guys were seeking. The wise men were seeking. They were seeking, or you can say, seeking is desire. They were desiring something. They were desiring something bigger than themselves. That's what they were looking for. Something bigger than themselves. With all the gods of their time, because there were plenty of gods, you could go to any corner store back then and buy yourself a god. Was whittled out of wood, okay? And you called him God and you put it up on a mantle. But they were looking for the true one and only God. The true God. That's who they were looking for. They were seeking. They wanted to know. They wanted to know what was God saying to them. What was God saying to the earth, the people on earth, his people he loved? What was he saying? What was he doing? What is God up to? What are you doing, God? And then, how can I participate in what they were doing? That's what those guys were thinking about. What is he saying? What is he doing? And how can I be a part of that? How can I be a part of that? And this seeking and this desire that they had in their heart cost them something. It cost them something. Just like it costs us something to meet King Jesus. It costs. It may cost family members. I know that it cost me. It cost me family members that I can't even talk to them about God. It cost me friends because I couldn't hang around with them anymore. And I know that you're sitting here and it's cost you something to be a Christian. It costs to seek. They don't have a Bible to tell them where to go, so they go to the very people whose scripture tells them and points them to Jesus. They had the Old Testament. These guys didn't. So they go and they ask for directions like all guys would do, right? You know, when I'm lost. Right, Sue? Joe, will you just pull into the gas station and ask him? I can't do that. But they're asking for directions. So when Herod and all Jerusalem heard this, they were, and scripture says, they were troubled. Why would you be troubled when the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is going to be born? You know why? Because they were kind of set in their ways, and they liked it just the way they were doing it. They were running things the way they wanted to run it. They weren't running the things. They didn't want somebody to come in and tell them how to do it and what to do. Just like many of us weren't ready. Some of us today aren't ready yet. Take a look at verse 4 and 5. It says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets." Now, let me tell you something. So they knew this event was going to occur. They knew it because they knew the scripture. They even quoted scripture in verse 6. It says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." They knew it. They could quote it, and they said, yeah, that's what's going to happen. You guys are looking for him? Oh, yeah, he's right there in Bethlehem. Just go ahead. Where are they? Why aren't they going? So the scripture was very, very clear to them. Verse 7 down through 10, it says, "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They haven't even seen Jesus yet. They just saw the star. And it was sitting right over top of that little manger. They haven't even seen him yet. And what happened, scripture says, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. It was like, man, I got it. I'm here. I got what I sought for. This is my desire. I came 1,000 miles to see this, and now I'm going to see. I'm going to see what all God has. Rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then the first part of 11 says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. This is the first time King Jesus was worshiped. Think about it. The first time, the very first time that anybody ever worshiped King Jesus was then. The wise men who brought, was seeking, wanted them. They fell down on their face and they worshiped King Jesus. The second part of 11 says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They brought gifts. And these gifts have significance for them back then, for Jesus back then, and for us today. Gold. They brought him gold that represents great wealth. A gift worthy of a king. The kings loved gold. Gold today is even one of the highest standards of wealth today in our day. Today. Okay? It is the highest standard. Everybody that had, you know, once our dollar bills are no good, if the economy would crash and everything that we own is nothing, worth nothing, gold is still worth something. It's worthy for a king. It was highly valued then and it still is today. It is the highest standard of wealth. It represented their best. Gold represented the wise men's best gift. That's what God desires from us. God desires our best, our absolute best. Frankincense. Frankincense in the Bible is used in worship. Through the Old Testament and some of the kings, they would use the incense and frankincense in their worship. So when they worshiped, that their sweet-smelling savor could go up to the nostrils of God and God could breathe it in. He breathed it in and then he could breathe out grace and love upon his people. Frankincense represents worshiping. Worshiping God with, we want to worship God with all our all. It's giving all our all. You know what was funny this morning? Well, not funny, but I really was aware of our worship service this morning when we were singing. And I believe that God breathed it in. And he's breathing out blessings and grace upon us. Because we worshiped this morning. We brought our all. And that's what he wants. A sweet, sweat-smelling savor. The myrrh, this was used as an embalming agent. Myrrh is primarily associated with death and can represent our sin or our worst. So the wise men gave their best. They gave their all. And they gave their worst. They didn't just drop off the gifts and say, see you later. Here you go. They didn't leave right away like some of us would wish that some of our guests would. Come and drop it off and see you later. They came and worshiped and had an encounter with King Jesus. Now look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Once they met King Jesus, they didn't go back the same way. They didn't go back the same way, like many of us do. Sometimes we have an encounter with Jesus and we say, God, you can have all my best, you can have all my worship, and you can even have all my sin. You can have it all, but I still want to go back the same way I came. No, they moved forward in a different direction. You know, I just want to tell a story. I asked Josh if I could tell this, and probably tell it up here when he's being baptized today. And right after the service or right after this. But he came to me and he says, Pastor Joe, he said, you know, I've been saved for a while, but I want to be baptized. Because he was going back the same way. And he said, I don't want to go back the same way anymore. I want to move forward. I want to go a different way. I want to go a different direction than when my life was taking me. Praise God. Praise God for somebody who would say, listen, I see the error of my way. I see all the stuff that was back there. I don't want to go back there anymore. I don't want to do this, a 360, and walk back. I want to do this and walk forward. For his honor and for his glory. Praise God that that Josh came to me and said, hey, look, man, I want to go a different way. These guys wanted to go a different way. They didn't want to go back. If you have had a life-changing encounter with King Jesus, you will give him your best. You will give him your all. You will give him your worst. And start moving in a new direction, in a new way. If you have never had an encounter with King Jesus, today is the day. I told you earlier about Evelyn. I talked to Evelyn the Sunday before she passed. She was sitting here drinking a cup of coffee, making plans to be picked up when it snowed. And today she's not here with us. It could happen. Could happen to any of us, no matter how old or young you are. We need to keep that in mind. So if everybody would stand with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to be thinking with me about those wise men of old that brought the gifts. What gifts do you have for Jesus? Do you have your best? Do you have your all? Does he have your all? Does he have your best? And have you given him rule over your life and your worst? And are you changing directions? I want to pray a little prayer because some of you today might not have that relationship. You've never had an encounter with King Jesus. And today is your day. Because if you walk out of here without accepting Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, you may never have another opportunity because he may decide to take you. Now we have folks in the back of the auditorium, the sanctuary, and they will be able to talk to you about salvation and show you clearly in the Bible what it says about it. But I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer of invitation to invite Christ into your heart today. That's not the catch-all. That's not, okay, I'm going to pray this and that's going to be it. No. You're going to pray this, and that's the beginning. That's the first step. So, dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you, and I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody like that? Anybody pray that prayer this morning? Anybody just lift up your hand. You can slip it back down. Anybody? Anyone? Well, I'm going to open the altar up. And the folks are still back there. If you have questions about salvation, go back and ask them. If you have a prayer request, if something's happening in your life and God is this world is just bearing down on you, why don't you go down and back and talk to one of them and allow them to pray. For the rest of you, the altar is open. Why don't you come and give God your best, your all, and your worst. Take this time while we do a verse of invitation to give it all to Him.
I'm so undeserving of all You are. Lord, You're so deserving of all my love. Gave Your life, shed Your blood. I take for granted what is enough. Less of me, more of You. Less of me, more of You. You know, Pastor Joe talked about us giving God our best and giving Him our worship and giving Him our worst. I don't know about you, but when I hear give God my worst, it doesn't resonate well with me. But the truth is that God is willing, and He wants us to bring to Him our brokenness. The pieces that don't fit together that we've been trying for so many years. He wants us to come and lay them at His feet and say, Father, forgive me, heal me, help me grow closer to You. So if that's you this morning, we've got some time. We're preparing for the baptism. There's no hurry. Just pray where you're at, or come on up to the altar this morning and just kind of lay that at Jesus' feet this morning. I'm so undeserving of all You are. Lord, You're so deserving of all my love. You gave Your life, You shed Your blood. I take for granted what is enough. Sing this with me. Less of me, more of You. Less of me, more of You. Less of me, more of You. Father, less of me, more of You. Dear God, we thank You so much that we can have eternal life through Your precious gift, through Your Son coming to be born in a manger. to die on the cross for our sins, God. We pray this morning that you would receive our worship and that you'd be honored in this place, Lord, as we get ready to celebrate Josh's decision to be baptized, God. We pray that you would just be pleased as our family's growing here, in Jesus' name. Amen.